The last page has been turned in my most recent read, though the book I'm going to be talking about today is one I read a few books ago and one that was recommended to me by other mythology fans. All that being said, here I am, no spoilers, as opinion-filled as ever and ready to roll, all of which means it's time for the latest episode of Being Bookish. This week, I am going to probably get a little bit upset and definitely rather angry at the injustice of the male-skewed mythological world with Natalie Haynes' interpretation of the Medusa story and her cruel unaliving at the hands of the hero Perseus in Stoneblind. I'm your host, Ray, self-confessed bookworm, introvert, hermit, and long-term depression sufferer. Join me on my journey through my ever-growing to-be-read pile and enjoy the latest of my 100% spoiler-free book reviews. This book was a gift from my nephew for Christmas in 2022. It had been on my radar for a while, and though I have read other interpretations in that time, specifically Medusa by Jesse Burton and The Shadow of Perseus by Claire Heywood, this one remained unread on my shelf. I am likely going to refer to both of these books at a later date as I review this one because I find their differences and similarities to be rather fascinating. So to mortal men, we are monsters. Because of our flight, our strength, they fear us. So they call us monsters. Medusa is the sole mortal in a family of gods. Growing up with her Gorgon sisters, she begins to realize that she is the only one who experiences change, the only one who can be hurt. And her mortal lifespan gives her an urgency that her family will never know. When the sea god Poseidon commits an unforgivable act in the Temple of Athena, the goddess takes her revenge where she can, and Medusa is changed forever. Writhing snakes replace her hair, and her gaze now turns any living creature to stone. The power cannot be controlled. Medusa can look at nothing without destroying it. She is condemned to a life of shadows and darkness, until Perseus embarks upon a quest to fetch the head of a Gorgon. The book begins with an introduction from the Gorgonian, and I'm going to apologise for pronunciation, warning that the tale will be one of men and monsters, almost contemplating whether men should be the monsters and the monsters something else. The further you get in the story, the more this question will be asked by the character and the reader. No sooner are we introduced to the possibility that the men are the monsters of this tale than Zeus shows his true colours, assaulting his first wife Metis and then consuming her to prevent any child of their union from usurping him. Anyone who knows the myth of the birth of Athena will know that she was born from his head, fully formed in armour and already very angry at the world. This is the Stoneblind version of that myth. Once we have established Athena's conception, if not her birth, we are introduced to Stheno and Uriel. They are Gorgons, and the sisters who take care of Medusa after she is left on their beach. She doesn't look like them, but they know she is the child of their parents, Ceto and Phorcys, who, due to their nature, cannot care for any child they produce. Slowly but surely, the two sisters grow to love their younger sister and do their best to protect her from the harshness that exists in the world because she is mortal and fragile, unlike them with their features that scare men and beast alike. After Athena springs from her father's skull, we are immediately introduced to the cruelty of Poseidon. At a newly constructed temple built in the name of the new goddess and daughter of Zeus, Medusa is introduced to the horror that is a god who will take what he wants and leave everyone else to deal with the consequences. He doesn't care about anyone but himself, and his later acts prove him to be callous and manipulative. Not long after Medusa is further punished for an act that was not her fault, something I have always struggled with as a reader of mythology, we are introduced to Danae, daughter of Acrisius. He is a paranoid Greek king who has been told by an oracle that his daughter will give birth to the man who will kill him. To prevent this from happening, he locks his daughter away, failing to think, of course, that in this time of gods and monsters, his daughter will not be alone anywhere. Traditional myth has Danae conceiving Perseus when Zeus visits her as a shower of gold. I guess this is far more romantic and certainly far less sad than the version Claire Heywood gives us, making his father a farmhand who abandons her when she becomes pregnant. Beneath the surface of this story runs another plot, that of a war between the gods and those who came before them. In this book, Perseus, Medusa, Danae, and the other mortals are puppets for the gods to play with, and they certainly do that. Having been exiled from her home with her newborn son, Danae finds herself on an island with Dictys, himself exiled from his home, the brother of Polydectes, a powerful, hungry, and immoral king. Things go on for some time. It seems that time is fluid in this novel, and then Polydectes shows up, and in an effort to show his power over his brother and everyone else, he tells Danae he will take her for his wife. Doesn't ask her, just tells her, because of course. Furious, Perseus says that this isn't going to happen, and the king tells the 16-year-old boy he will leave them in peace if Perseus kills the monstrous Gorgon and brings evidence back to the island. And here is where another thread is introduced, the story of Cassiope or Cassiopeus, Cephus, and Andromeda, the royal family of Ethiopia. Cassiopeia is vain and manages to anger the gods, proclaiming she is more powerful and beautiful than the dryads. This infuriates an already antagonized Poseidon, who sends Ceto to the city, causing floods and damage to everything. As Cassiope is responsible for this because of her vain ego, it is expected that her daughter Andromeda will pay with her life, tied to a rock in exchange for the safety of the country and its people. Fair enough, she is the royal princess after all. All this is happening while Perseus is on his quest to find out where he can locate the deadly Medusa, take her life, and rescue his mother. We all know how this tragic tale ends. Well, those who love mythology will, or at least past readings have made us think we do. And this book is no different. There are multiple twists and turns that lead to the conclusion of the story, and it is neither what you expect nor what I truly hoped. Because, yeah, there is no real way for it to end happily for everyone. But will anyone escape with a joyous denouement, or is everything going to be a disaster? Though I love mythological retellings, I really do, I can't help but feel that this is the first one I've actually read this year. I have Medea by Rosie Hewlett, which is a gorgeous special edition on my shelf, and it has been there since its release, to be fair. I know that another book by Jennifer Saint, Hera, is due out shortly, but sadly, as many of you may be aware, if you've listened to my podcast before, I am not a fan of hers and decided after struggling with Atalanta that I would not be reading anymore. There has to come a time where I say enough about authors I'm not enjoying. We are now a couple of weeks into the new month, and finally it appears that spring is really making its way to UK shores. Pale blue skies and slightly higher temperatures. This means that I will soon be able to sit on my balcony of an evening with a new book and a hot cup of Earl Grey tea to enjoy the peace and quiet. I really cannot wait, because that is my idea of bliss. Anyway, less of that, let's talk turkey, gorgons, and apparent heroes as I contemplate my experience of Stoneblind, a book with many sides and several complex issues that require careful consideration. Having some experience with the original versions of the story, Hesiod and Ovid, through my mostly unfinished classics degree, at some point I really should finish that, I was sure I would know every single thing that Haynes would write, or at least have an idea. I was very happy to be surprised at the route she ended up taking, though the conclusion is sadly the same. There's no way to change it. I am going to avoid the spoilers, though I am sure that anyone familiar with Rick Riordan's Percy Jackson series or the two different versions of Clash of the Titans will have some idea of how the story ends for both Perseus and Medusa. So while I'm going to try and avoid spoiling the book, I am going to share some reviews with you, as I think they are not only a good reflection of how different everyone's taste can be, but also how people can interpret and enjoy other forms of entertainment in a varied manner. Personally, I don't like coming down hard on one side or the other when talking about a book, but ultimately my opinion is mine and why I'm talking with my hands a lot. And that's why I try and pick up a couple of reviews from both ends of the spectrum on Goodreads, as I think they do help to add an element of perspective. I may not agree with them, and often I don't, but they do help keep things incredibly balanced. If you're thinking of reading this book and it is beautiful, please don't let any of these reviews, including mine, sway you to change your decision, because ultimately your opinion is likely going to be slightly different. Lils gave this book just one star, and her views had a lot to do with misrepresentation or her feeling of the novel's content. She said,
"Medusa's name is in the title. Medusa's picture is on the cover. So should the reader not expect the story to be about Medusa? I wanted a feminist retelling that succeeded in exonerating a woman demonized for thousands of years, but Haynes did not deliver. Stoneblind is the story of Perseus with Medusa as a side character. Medusa is only in the book to make a point about Perseus. She is only there to add depth to a man's character, and this is the most glaring problem with the book. It's just not Medusa's story at all. Her own personality is nowhere to be found. Her characterization is dismal, and from what little time we spend with her, it's clear that she has no agency or complexity. Olives. Yes, olives. Haynes is trying hard to be clever, and crows are giving more narration time than Medusa. Haynes' disappointing novel is contrasted by what Madeline Miller achieved in Circe, an empowering retelling of an often overlooked woman, focused on her from her perspective on her terms. This is precisely what Haynes has failed at. Though it tries, Stoneblind offers no revolutionary take on Greek mythology. Circe managed to subvert the traditions of Greek mythology. Stoneblind, not unlike The Silence of the Girls, does not. I was really rooting for this book, and I have a lot of respect for what the author set out to do, but I am bitterly disappointed to say that Haynes failed in her mission. This book completely missed the mark. It is just another book in the recent retelling renaissance that fails to overturn the androcentric tradition of Greek mythology. You won't catch me recommending this book to anyone, not even my mythology-obsessed little cousin. What a shame."
As often seems to be the case when it comes to the lower rated reviews, the opinion of one is shared by many. In this case, it had a lot to do with the fact that the book is marketed to the audience as the story of Medusa, and while her story is contained within, there are also so many other plot lines sprinkled throughout that her life and experiences are diluted by the experiences of others. On Goodreads, the overall rating for the book is 3.85. Which isn't bad until you compare it to novels like Circe and Clytemnestra, both five-star reads for me, that have 4.24 and 4.26, respectively. Admittedly, both of these books are exceptional, and mythology fans have been spoiled by their excellence. So perhaps it is this which has led to people expecting so much and being somewhat disappointed with the results. Stoneblind has a pretty impressive 42,957 ratings and 6,336 reviews. No, I did not read all of them to select the ones I'm talking about. No one has that much time. Out of those 42,957 ratings, 67% were on the more positive side, with more than 28,000 readers feeling it deserved 4 or 5 stars. However, things weren't completely positive, with 3,023 readers, or 6%, finding it somewhat disappointing and only worthy of a 1 or 2 star rating. Some of those readers at the lower end of the scale marked it as a DNF, not even reaching the end of the story. Rebecca gave it 5 stars, enjoying the fact that through Natalie Haynes' work, Medusa was given a chance to speak for herself. She said,
"Who decides what is a monster? The only mortal in a family of gods, Medusa is the youngest of the Gorgon sisters. Unlike her siblings, Medusa grows older, experiences change, feels weakness. When the sea god Poseidon assaults Medusa in Athena's temple, the goddess is enraged. Punished for Poseidon's actions, Medusa is forever transformed. Writhing snakes replace her hair, and her gaze will turn any living creature to stone. Cursed with the power to destroy all she loves with one look, Medusa condemns herself to a life of solitude, until Perseus embarks on a fateful quest to fetch the head of a gorgon. As someone who has always been an advocate of female voices in literature, I am thrilled to say that Stoneblind has swept me away and has quickly become a new favourite. This novel is a true masterpiece that showcases the strength and depth of female storytelling. Medusa is a character from classic myth that did not originally get to speak on her own behalf. In Stoneblind, gone is the predator we've understood her as, and instead we bear witness to her as prey, not just to Perseus, but a pawn in a larger political game of the gods. Stoneblind is not only a triumph in Greek mythology retelling, but a triumph of feminist literature displaying the power of female storytelling and the richness of the female experience. I've always loved Medusa. I am thrilled to say this book finally does her the justice that I've always believed she deserved. My highest recommendation. So to mortal men, we are monsters because of our teeth, our flight, our strength. They fear us, so they call us monsters.
For several years, Natalie Haynes has been on my personal BBC Radio 4 playlist with her comedic and classically focused Natalie Haynes Stands Up for the Classics, during which she goes through the tales of mythology and paints a balanced and perhaps more modern picture of these often misinterpreted stories. I find it greatly entertaining, so it's no surprise A Thousand Ships, which is the story of Helen of Troy, has been sitting on my Kindle unread for nearly 5 years. However, I couldn't ignore the numerous recommendations from reader friends who were telling me that I just had to pick up my almost 18-month-old copy of Stoneblind and finally read it. So I did. While I'm a fan of Haynes' interpretations, and I truly enjoy listening to her half-hour radio show, to the point that I've actually recommended it to quite a few friends, and to you if you haven't already listened to it, this doesn't mean that I am offering any guarantee that I absolutely loved Stoneblind. Yeah. Anyway, now I've told you about other people's views, let's get down to it. Here are my personal thoughts on Stoneblind by Natalie Haynes, completely spoiler-free and 100% honest. Did I like the book? Being familiar with the rebooted and expanded version of Medusa's tale, as written by Ovid in Metamorphoses, which is admittedly a book I turn to quite often when reading mythological retellings, it is always interesting to read the interpretations and expansions another author has placed on the work. It was bound to happen at some point. There would be a glut of works that take a look at the Medusa myth from the woman's perspective, especially when you take into account the fact that Medusa happened to be the unfortunate victim of not one, but two Olympian gods, one who just couldn't understand that no means no, and the other who felt the girl was responsible for the actions of the man who ignored her protestations. Justice, right there. In Stoneblind, we get a glimpse of what happens through Medusa's eyes, and oh boy, will that phrase come back and bite me later. Anyway, we start with the story of Medusa's two older sisters, Gorgons from birth who are disfigured and terrifying. When Medusa, a seemingly mortal baby, is dropped on the shore, these two apparently monstrous creatures take her in and raise her to be a gentle and kind girl, only for this particular behaviour to come back and bite her on the butt when the disgusting and morally corrupt Poseidon sets his sights on her. This book doesn't exactly paint the gods in a good light. First off, we have Zeus, who abuses his first wife and then swallows her whole world pregnant with the product of that abuse. Then we have Hera, who has a son, Hephaestus, with an unnamed man. Jealous of her husband's perfidy, she does everything she can to make life difficult for him and his children. Of course, we then meet Danae, the daughter of a mentally ill king who locks her in a room that no one can break into in order to impregnate her with a child who will kill him and steal his throne. So it's all about power. Not that this will stop an obsessive god like Zeus, and it does not, as we discover. To say that there's a lot of infidelity in this would be a massive understatement. It seems to be the thing with the gods, none of whom are faithful to the ones they are married to, which has always made me wonder why they bothered to get married in the first place. Anyway, Danae gives birth to Perseus and is exiled from her home and saved from drowning by a horrified Zeus protecting his son, and all the players of the game are in place. One thing that doesn't seem to make sense in this book is the timeline. It is, as I've mentioned before, fluid. Medusa, having been sentenced to a life as a mortal with terrifying powers she cannot control because of the crime committed against her by a male god, and yes, I'm saying that quick, seems to be ageless, or at least that's the feeling I get, after the assault when she's a mere girl of 16, time just drifts. It's never made clear if she and Perseus were born and aged at the same rate, or if she was turned into a so-called monster at the age of 16, and Perseus was born at some point during this period. However, it occurs, stories of the horrific Gorgon Medusa have spread, and when his mother's life and future are threatened by Polydectes, he is sent to prove his worth and instructed to return with the head of a Gorgon. I've always found Medusa's story incredibly tragic, and a study of her and her feelings, confusion, anger, resentment were what I really wanted and was expecting from Stoneblind. It's unfortunately not exactly what I got. There were moments when I was perplexed. I knew who was talking, I knew whose perspective we were getting, but it felt somewhat muddled, as though the story had become a bit of a blurry mismatch of elements that needed to be unjumbled. As I've already said, I enjoy Haynes' radio show. It's very cleverly done and really well delivered. A stand-up show that feeds my love of Greek myth. This book just felt as though it was a mix of so many storylines that needed to be organised more logically and clearly. I know that we needed all these characters in the mix because they have a role to play in Medusa's story, but because we were also told the story of Danae and Zeus, of Zeus and Athena, of Perseus and his adoration for his mother, of Zeus and Perseus, poor Medusa's story got somewhat lost. To borrow and mangle a line from The Holiday, one of my favourite Christmas films, she was supposed to be the leading lady of her own life and ended up playing the best friend. Overall, this is a well-written book, but for a few things I wish hadn't been given so much of a focus. It felt as though Medusa's own experiences were a second thought, with the childish warring gods and their differences being the centre of everything. I do have to mention, though, that personally, I found this was a better version of the tale than The Very Brief Medusa by Jesse Burton, though the cover is pretty, and The Shadow of Perseus by Claire Heywood, the latter of which I truly struggled to read. Heywood did manage to make Perseus an absolutely horrific character that you were not rooting for at any point. While at points, Haynes did sort of make me feel a sprinkle of pity for young Perseus before he became a character that had nothing to recommend him, with a huge ego, and took far too much satisfaction in witnessing the destruction of everyone and anything he could not control and felt would tarnish the reputation he built for himself as the destroyer of the Gorgon. What surprised me most about the book? I think that the story structure was the biggest surprise. I've already talked about it quite a lot, but I am going to mention it again because this didn't feel as though it was as much Medusa's story as it was the story of the so-called hero, Perseus. It made me dislike his character more than I already did, but at some point the story's focus became him, with Medusa simply a footnote in a book that I thought was all hers. If you're looking for something like this, or you loved this and you want something else, then you'll love these. I could easily bore you with all the recommendations because I have loads, truthfully. If you're just looking for mythological retellings rather than Medusa focused, then here you go. I have already mentioned my favourites. Circe by Madeline Miller is a story that inspires so many emotions and gives you a totally different perspective of the unfortunate witch who is mainly remembered for turning a ship's crew into pigs. However, she is so much more than that. She is strong, independent, determined. And despite the fact that everyone in her life abandoned her, she rises above it. Yeah, I love this book. Another book that I love and I have mentioned so many times, you may well just pick it up to make me stop talking about it, and that is Clytemnestra by Costanza Casati. She is another woman of mythology who has appeared in a number of books over the last couple of years, including Electra by Jennifer Saint and Clytemnestra's Bind by Susan C. Wilson. But for me, this one is by far the best. A melding of different stories gleaned from multiple sources, we are provided with a picture of a woman who is driven to the edge of reason by a man who is insane with the need for power, so insane he will do anything to get it, and she just bides her time. I love Casati's interpretation of Clytemnestra because she doesn't pull any punches and manages to make the story of a woman who kills her husband in a rather brutal way, to be fair, likable. Other books I would recommend if you enjoy a good retelling are Psyche and Eros by Luna McNamara, The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller, Law Olympus by Rachel Smythe, if you fancy something written a little bit differently. And though they haven't been for me, many do love the stories by Jennifer Saint, including Electra, Ariadne, and Atalanta. I am going to add Medea here by Rosie Hewlett, though that is still on my TBR to be read next month, and I will have more about it at that point. This last week has been a rather hectic one, not helped by the fact that my B12 injection is due and my levels are seriously depleted. I cannot wait for my next visit to the nurse at the end of the month. However, I have still managed to get a bit of reading done, and I am currently enjoying The City of Brass by Shannon Chakraborty, which I am finding is as well written as The Adventures of Amina Al-Sarafi, and a new book by author Catherine Mack called Every Time I Go on Vacation, Someone Dies. Right now, I am on a bit of a cozy TV crime kick, watching shows like Murder, She Wrote, Shakespeare and Hathaway, Agatha Raisin, Miss Fisher Investigates, and The Brokenwood Mysteries. But I can't help but ask one question when I watch them. Why would people go anywhere they know these people are going to be? Do they just like them so much they don't care about the risk to their own person? What do you think? Would you go on a cruise ship if you knew J.B. Fletcher was going to be on board? Because I don't think I would. Over on my YouTube channel, I am trying something different. So if you like to watch as well as listen to a podcast, this new project may well fit the bill. Please don't forget, if you want to hear about new releases and other books I've read, as well as keep up with my reviews, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website, beingbookish.co.uk. The next newsletter will be sent out soon. I promise. I spent time with the family again this week, and that's pushed me a tad off schedule again. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening and your continued support. It means a great deal to me. If you like what you hear, why not share it with your friends and family? And please post a star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of the other podcatchers where you might listen. You can also follow me on Instagram as Being Bookish Pod, on TikTok as Being Bookish Reviews, though I've kind of left that to the wayside for the time being, and on X as Being_Bookish. And you can find newer episodes and some book-themed content on YouTube, where I am at Being Bookish Pod. Or of course, you can check out my website for the podcast back catalogue and full written spoiler-free book reviews at beingbookish.co.uk. Well, I have a few things left to do before I begin another full week at work. And I am looking forward to starting a new book and visiting another new world. So until next time, this is me saying farewell.